From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this update. Past ghost hunting experiences have come back to haunt a man picked by Governor Mike Dunleavy to serve on a compensation board for crime victims. During a confirmation hearing Wednesday, Senator Laura Reinbold focused on John Francis's ghost hunting and his thoughts on the paranormal. She called the issue serious. Francis explained setting up recorders in people's homes as part of their investigations. He says what is found is almost always explainable, and sharing that provides a measure of comfort to those homeowners. Reinbold asked Francis if he believes in the paranormal. Francis says he's surprised how much attention ghost hunting has gotten compared to his past criminal activity. He says he has long since turned his life around and supports victims' rights. And in other news, St. Paul Island in the middle of the Bering Sea is a refuge for northern fur seals. More than 500,000 of the animals return to the islands each summer and sprawl over its beaches. Alaska natives have harvested the seals for more than two centuries. But tight federal restrictions keep them off limits most of the year. And that frustrates residents who pay steep prices for barged-in groceries. Nat Hertz with Alaska's Energy Desk flew to St. Paul to find out how that could finally be changing.
Robbie Melavidov's kids are in their 20s, but come dinner time, you can still find them at his house. His daughter Anna even shows up before dinner to scavenge.
Dig in the fridge, there's leftover pizza in there. But I'm going to do a whole stock tonight, so.
Right now, Melavidov is putting together all the fixings for a traditional meal. Homemade fry bread, cream of corn, rice, and coleslaw. At the center of it is stewed fur seal, harvested off the beaches of this volcanic island. As the bread dough rises, Melavidov slices at a hunk of meat that he pulled from his freezer earlier.
Right now, I'm just cleaning it up, taking off some of the riffraff, getting ready to chop it up and cook it.
Seal is a staple here, and it's actually what brought Melavidov's ancestors to St. Paul and its sister island, St. George, two centuries ago. Russian traders moved them from the Aleutian Islands, then forced them to harvest the seals for their furs, a practice that continued even after the U.S. purchase of Alaska. Unungan people like Melavidov, who sometimes refer to themselves as Aleuts, still see themselves as stewards of the seals, and St. Paul's tribal government runs the annual subsistence harvest. Last summer, Melavidov was the foreman.
We don't need somebody outsider to tell us how to do things when we've been doing it. In fact, the reason why the government even hired us to do it and made us do it was because we're the experts.
But the federal government still tightly enforces regulations on the subsistence harvest, which usually takes fewer than 400 seals. That's less than 2% of the size of the government-run commercial harvest when it ended in the 1980s. The Unungan people are limited to a summer harvest season that lasts less than 2 months, even though the seals are on or near the island all year. And they're barred from legally harvesting lakuda, or seal pups, which are treasured for their tender meat. Amos Filimonov is president of the tribal government.
You know, the harvest of fur seals is ingrained in us out here. It's a part of who we are. And to be severely restricted in expressing who we are is just a darn shame. We want nothing more than to, you know, live off of the land, live off of the sea, but unfortunately, we're regulated out of that.
St. Paul's tribal government has long been pushing to change the subsistence harvest rules. And after more than a decade of work, it's on the brink of getting what it wants. Last year, the federal government released a rewrite of the rules that would expand the subsistence harvest season from less than 2 months to nearly all year. And it would allow the Unungan people to hunt fur seals with guns for the first time. Federal managers hope the rule change can take effect later this year. Mike Williams is with the National Marine Fisheries Service, the agency that's working with St. Paul's tribal government on the proposal.
This is real food security, for sure. There is no doubt that this is an important item culturally and nutritionally for the communities. And we're working to try and make that happen.
The government's proposed rule change comes with an 11-page analysis that says a bigger subsistence harvest shouldn't cause a significant decline in the fur seals' numbers. That's largely because the harvest is limited to male seals, and as a single male seal can breed with 100 females in one season, fewer of them are needed to sustain the overall population. But there's a long-running decline in the fur seal numbers that scientists haven't been able to explain. That's the reason the Humane Society is critical of the proposal. The group also lobbied to shut down the commercial harvest in the 1980s. Sharon Young, the Society's Marine Issues Field Director, says it's not the subsistence harvest that's the problem, but, she says,
we don't fully understand why there is a decline ongoing, but there is a decline ongoing, and we're very concerned that this is not the time to increase the number of animals that are being killed or to use a way of killing them that is more indiscriminate.
Williams, the federal manager, says the uncertainty about the population decline is one of the reasons it's taken the government so long to change the subsistence harvest rules. Still, the waiting has prompted deep frustration on St. Paul, along with the fact that it's non-Unungan federal workers living far from the island who have the final decision-making authority. That's even though the tribal government, according to the U.S. Constitution and longstanding federal policy, has sovereign status. Tribal members see the fur seals as a resource they've hunted for thousands of years and are capable of managing themselves. Back in Melavidov's kitchen, the seal meat is almost ready for the frying pan.
You're in algae country. The whole area is algae country. The whole chain is algae country. We algaes, and we're here. I mean, that's our country. And we subsist off it for many, 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 many years. I mean, nobody's going to question that, really. I don't feel like I have to defend it.
Melavidov browns the seal, then starts pulling spices down from a cabinet above the stove.
I got seasoning, salt, a bit of garlic, pepper. Dig way in the back.
As Melavidov finishes cooking, the house starts filling up. Two of his sons arrive straight from basketball. His daughter comes back, and eventually his wife arrives.
It's been a long day. I'm tired, and time for me to chow down and wrap it up. But typically, I have one meal a day, and this is it.
It's nearly 5 hours after Melavidov started cooking before he finally sits down with a plate of his own. On St. Paul Island, I'm Nat Herz.
And in other news, a transgender woman is suing the Alaska Department of Health and Social Service Commissioner for denying transition-related health care coverage under Medicaid. The lawsuit, which seeks to be class action, was filed in federal court on Monday. As KBBI's Renee Gross reports, the suit argues that prohibiting coverage for gender reassignment surgery and hormone therapy is discrimination and illegal.
Homer resident Swan Bing relies on Medicaid for some of her health care expenses. In January, her doctor asked that Medicaid pay for Bing to travel from Homer to Anchorage so she could receive hormone injections and lab work related to her gender reassignment. But Bing says that request was denied.
So I was real shocked when this happened and dismayed, and I need my care. It's life and death.
Attorney Jim Davis with the Northern Justice Project represents Bing. The Northern Justice Project is also representing plaintiffs suing the Sitka Police Department on discrimination allegations and the plaintiff who's alleging unfair collection of sales tax by marketing company LuLaRoe. Davis says if Bing doesn't get this treatment, she could face negative consequences.
And then the only reason the state denied it is because of a regulation that says you can't have any Medicaid treatment for gender dysphoria, no matter what your doctors say.
According to the Movement Advancement Project, a nonprofit think tank that advocates for LGBT equality, Alaska is one of 11 states with a Medicaid program that explicitly excludes transgender health care coverage. Davis says Alaska's regulation that prohibits coverage for transgender health care services under Medicaid violates the Equal Protection Law under the 14th Amendment,
which provides that all people need to be treated equally. If some people are eligible to get medically necessary treatment and others aren't simply because we don't like the treatment they're getting or we don't agree with their conditions, that's illegal.
Davis says the regulation also violates equal treatment under the Medicaid Act. He adds that he expects there are more than 40 transgender residents in Alaska who are eligible to join the case against the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum. There have been similar challenges to regulations denying transgender-related health care across the country, including in Minnesota.
So in that case, the federal court struck down the regulation, and we expect the same thing is going to happen in our case.
The Department of Health and Social Services says it has not been served with the lawsuit and declined to comment. Reporting in Homer, I'm Renee Gross.
And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of today. Tonight, increasing clouds with lows around 27. For Friday, flurries, then drizzle between 9 a.m. and noon, mostly cloudy, with a high near 38.